Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By the end, I was like, just like legit, like rocking my whole chair. Like, what the fuck?
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
I started wrestling in 2014. Back then, it was just a hobby, and I only had one goal: to fulfill my childhood dream of stepping into a ring. Now, almost 4 years later, and after a lot of hard work and overcoming many obstacles, I've accomplished something that didn't even seem possible at first: make wrestling my full-time job. Spanish wrestling is more popular than ever, both inside and outside of our country, and I think that comes with a responsibility. I want to carry the banner for our scene on the global stage, but if I want to do that, I need to be able to represent my own self in the first place. That's the reason why, starting today, I'll leave the name Adam Chase behind. Please welcome Carlos Romo.
Carlos Romo, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm okay, how are you?
All is good here, thank you. Well, all good considering.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of wrestling fans may know you as Carlos Romo, but they may know you as another name.
Well, it was like maybe like a year and a half ago, something like that. Like, to be honest, I sometimes forget that I was called differently. So I used to go by the name of Adam Chase.
What made you change from Adam Chase to Carlos Romo?
Well, so I am Spanish, in case whoever's listening doesn't know. And we used to, when I got the Adam Chase name, I was only wrestling in Spain. So at the time, like, it was just a hobby, and I had just started wrestling, and it sounded cool to me. So I was like, yeah, I'll get Adam Chase. Like, I came from an even previous name that was given to me, which was Project A. So they asked me for something to start with, like, an A. So I was like, okay, I'll take that. But then we started coming to wrestle in the UK, and people would approach us and merch and would be like, where are you guys from? And I was like, oh, wait. Yeah, the fact that you're asking me is probably pretty bad. And like, in a world where like having something different and unique is very important, I wasn't getting like making any advantages of like being Spanish. So I was like, yeah, I definitely need to like change my name to something that like really represents me and something I can identify with.
What people may not know about you as well, Carlos, which is very useful in these times of isolation and social distancing and just reasons to be cheerful, you play a mean guitar.
I do play guitar, yeah.
When did you start playing guitar?
Very long ago. I was probably like 7 or 8, but like I was never like really constant or like never really like practice as much as I should. So like by this time I should be an incredible guitar player, but I'm definitely not. I'm just okay. And like for the last like 4 or 5 years, something like that, like I haven't really played. Like if anything, I would grab the guitar like once every like 3 or 4 months. But now that like I'm here in the UK and like social distancing is coming, like I can see myself like starting to play a bit more often. I'm enjoying it.
I wonder whether this is during this time. It's like the rise of the online streamer. I'm excited for Carlos Romo gigs via the internet.
maybe that's a chance. That's a chance.
Oh, get in. We are sending you on a metaphorical desert island, Carlos Romo. And before we do, we are asking you to pick three wrestling matches that you could happily watch whilst you are on said desert island. What would your first match be if you could choose three matches, Carlos?
Okay, my first match, I'm going to do them in chronological order.
That's fine.
My first match would be Brian Danielson versus Takeshi Morishima from Manhattan Mayhem 2, I think it is.
Brian Danielson may very well be what he says he is, the best wrestler in the world, but he is giving up an awful lot of size and power to the ROH World Champion.
You might say he is the best in the world, but to truly back that up, he needs the championship belt once again around his waist.
That was discovered to me by A-Kid. A-Kid started showing me all like the Danielson ROH era. And it just like felt completely different than I had ever watched. It was just like a shock. And I remember like seeing Morishima, which I knew nothing about by the time. This was when, like, I just started training. Like, I was probably like maybe like a year into training, something like that. And keep in mind that like Spain isn't big in like wrestling culture. Or, like, I had nobody in, like, my circle of friends that like wrestling. So, like, everything I had, like, everything I found, it was, like, just through I could find on the internet. Like, I had, the only friends I had that could show me wrestling was, like, people at training. And A-Kid was the one that, like, knew a bit more. Or Thayas knew a bit more, too. So he just showed me, like, the Danielson era. And, like, I just watched that. And I remember, like, watching, and like, just getting hyped with anything that happened, like, the moment like Danielson finally like kicks Morishima's leg and he like bumps and the place explodes, it's like, oh, wrestling. Ah.
It's great when a match like that just allows you to suspend your disbelief.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, I love when matches like can take me, like, I try to, when I watch those kind of matches, I try to watch as a fan. I do watch them as a wrestler to analyze them and learn from them. But sometimes I like try to like zone myself out, and with these three matches, like, I had those moments. I think that's one of the reasons why I chose them, and yeah, that this definitely happened.
It's incredible. It's an incredible match that holds up even today. Like Takeshi Morishima, this monster, up against Brian Danielson, the plucky underdog, something he's played all his life pretty much. It looks so good. You said you were training when you were watching this match.
I wasn't like at training session, but like I was already starting to train as a wrestler.
The Spanish wrestling world isn't one that is massively known across the world, but someone like you is bringing it back to making people more aware of it. When you were growing up as a wrestling fan, who were your icons from Spanish wrestling?
There were none. Like, there were none. The only one, and like people like tried to make him as one of our own because there was like nobody, was Kane. Because Kane, some people, like everybody in Spain knows it, but not many people outside of Spain know it. He was born in like a military base in Madrid.
Ah, so yeah, I guess that makes a Spanish connection.
Yeah. So everybody was like, whenever they found out, I remember like the first live tour. So they started like airing SmackDown again, like 2006, something like that. They did one live tour and not many people knew he was born in Madrid. But then like they did the second tour and everybody was aware. And I remember like the second tour, he was main eventing and everybody had like signs of like hometown Kane and everything, which like he wasn't, like he was just born in the military base, but he's like a US citizen. But everybody was like, yeah, he's one of our own. Yeah.
But that says, says, as you say, how lacking there was in those Spanish wrestling heroes, that Kane was adopted hero.
Absolutely. Like, when I started watching, it was like, okay, like, I don't think this is something you can actually do. Like, I watched it, and I saw, like, the don't try this at home thing and whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess, like, this is, like, people training in some secret facility in the UK, in the US, sorry. But it's not something, like, we can do.
What was the
I thought it was just like not possible.
So that you genuinely just thought this is just something that happens in America. This doesn't happen to people from Spain. When did you realise that wasn't the case?
So I met a friend at a concert, and we added each other on Facebook. And I had just moved to Madrid. So I was pretty bored. I still didn't have even internet at home and anything. And I took a big break from watching wrestling, but I came back to watching maybe between 6 months and a year before that happened. So I met this guy, and then he starts posting pictures of him wrestling. And I'm like, wait, what? And then he shares a post from White Wolf Wrestling where they say we just moved to a new training facility. So we have now a space open if you want to train. And I was like, you know what? I am at home here. I am bored as hell. I didn't think about it in the long run, but I was like, this is one of the things I want to do before I die. So at least I'm going to go to one training session with no expectations, and I'll just go there and see what happens. And if it's too much for me, or if I can do it or whatever, I just say thank you to everyone and I'll go home. And that's fine. But I've got it out of my system.
That first training session, talk to us about it. How did it make you feel when you were there?
You know what? It made me feel great. Whenever I played sports, I've played sports all my life. I was always very complaining, let's say. If people hit me a little bit, I wouldn't be a guy that took impact really well. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I didn't even let me play football because it was if they tackle you as hard as we see people tackle each other, you're gonna complain loads. You're not made for that. And I was okay, you say that, okay. So yeah, one day I was I'm just gonna give you my 100%. There's no point in me half-assing bumping or whatever. So I just went hard on all the bumps, went hard on everything, and it was I think I can actually take this. It hurts, but I think I can take this. I don't know if it's the adrenaline or what. And I seem to be doing well. All the trainers went and asked me, you're kidding, you've trained before. And I was no, never in my life. I couldn't even do a fucking roll a few years ago. And they were well, you seem like you have. And they just motivated me, and I seem to be doing well, and I felt my body could take it. So I was you know what? I love this. And then they gave me at the end of the training, the small little pill, to hook me back, okay, we'll show you how to do a suplex. And I was oh fuck, this is so cool. And yeah, came back.
That says everything, doesn't it? That you took all those big moves and you were like, love this, definitely coming back again. Can you remember the first time you put it all together in a match, but whether that be in the training school or whether that would be actually on a show? Can you remember when that happened?
Yeah, dude. It's a bit weird because again, Spain, we now living in the UK, I feel we all have the image of seeing great schools run by great wrestlers, experienced wrestlers, in a scene that has been going for many, 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 many years, even with its ups and downs, but it's been there. But in Spain, there was nobody. In Spain, the people who trained me had to fly people from Ireland in to show them the basics, and then they kept them on. Then they just watched TV and imitated. So it wasn't no actual professional wrestlers teaching us. So I remember we did one three-way at a training session, which was okay. And then when I made my debut, they didn't even tell me up till very short, very close to the show. And it was a 6-on-6 elimination match. So I legit my debut, and they didn't even announce me. They just threw me in a stable without saying anything. So the stable just had one more guy. And yeah, legit, did three moves, took one, went home. I think I spent 40 seconds in the ring in my debut. It was great.
Hey, that'll forever be your debut as well. I want to talk more about the wrestling scene in Spain and the amazing work that you and others have done to bring it to the forefront. We'll talk about that in a short while. But your second match for your DVD. So we've had Brian Danielson versus Takeshi Morishima from Manhattan Mayhem. What's your second match going to be?
My second match is going to be Sami Zayn versus Adrian Neville, or Pac now, from XT TakeOver Our Revolution, I think it is.
Well, I want you to know that next week you've taken upon your shoulders to consider yourself done if you do not win the NXT Championship. Well, I just want you to know that I thought long and hard about this, and what you do post-match is your prerogative, and I will not be held responsible. That will not be my burden to bear.
That's good that you've done a lot of thinking, because I've done a lot of thinking too, and I've been doing a lot of listening to everything you're saying, and I gotta say that it's starting to really piss me off. The nerve that you're displaying coming out here and saying, I'm too nice to be champion, like I'm your baby sister or something. Like, you gotta tell me how I have to live, how I have to work, how I gotta do what I gotta do. Let me tell you something, I've done pretty well for myself. All right? Whatever I choose to do after the match, whether I decide to walk, whatever I do is based on me and my decisions and my life, and it has nothing to do with you. You don't decide my fate, I do.
I didn't mean any disrespect at all. We go back a long way, and we've had a long friendship. And above all else, I respect you, Sammy. I respect you probably more than anybody else on the face of this planet. I respect you. And next week, above all else, it will be a privilege, and mate, it'll be an absolute honor to stand across the ring from you in what will be undoubtedly the match of our careers.
So this was like legit as I just started training. Probably like I was like, I'm checking and it's like December 2014. So I was probably like 2 months into training or like something like that. So I was like, I'd still had like all the fresh fan vibes. And like just this, the whole story they played throughout the whole arc with Sami Zayn and like his redemption and him not being able to like get the big title, like Neville and him being friends, but then like him pushing him to the limit and how well, like it's just like how well they played everything. And obviously they're two incredible professional wrestlers. It's just like a very beautiful wrestling match, like from the wrestling aspect, from the story aspect, and from... And then obviously like the emotion, like all the turn at the end and everything, it's just great. And at the time it was like, wow.
It felt like the rise of Sami Zayn, which I love. And I think a lot of people now who've just started watching wrestling recently, Carlos, will see Sami Zayn as just this chicken heel manager. But you and I both know that like he is so much more than that.
Wow, he's incredible. And also he's someone that I've like personally liked a lot, like in terms of like music and the stuff he talks about and the way he approaches life and everything. So at the moment I felt like a great connection to him, and it was great.
With that particular match, I think a lot of people will remember the closing moments of it with Sami Zayn holding up the NXT title, his best friend Kevin Owens there, and that attack that occurred literally as nobody saw it coming. They waited, and bang, then it happened. In that moment, did it catch you off guard?
I don't know if this, probably not, but like this is the first time I remember them showing like the logo of like the end of the show and then taking it off and that happening after.
Oh, it's become WWE's favorite fake out, where they put the copyright logo in the corner. That's where you're like, you know something's going to happen now, surely.
Yeah, but like at the time, like I'm sure it would have happened before, but I didn't realize at the time. So at the time I was like, oh, this is done. Oh, it happened. Like, I remember, like, we even spoke the following day and, like, A-Kid turned off the stream because he thought it was done. So he didn't see the turn.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he saw the logo and he turned it off. He was like, okay, show's on, cool. And then, like, I remember, like, we met, I think we had training, like, the following morning. And, like, we met at training and he was like, wait, what happened, what?
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So and I imagine a lot of people would have been caught out in a similar way.
Yeah.
I reckon.
I think he probably even made it, like, a bit better. I don't know. It was great. It was real good.
As a wrestler, was there a particular moment from that match that stands out to you? Something that resonates with you as a wrestler, and maybe something that you have implemented or emulated in your own work?
I remember the way, like, when Zayn gets, like, the opportunity to hit Neville with the belt and has, like, the big moment of hesitation of whether he should do it or not. That, like, really impacted me. Like, they played it very well, and because of the story they had behind, it was, like, super important. Like, just, like, all the facial expressions and everything, like, he was being like, oh, I can't win the big one, but, like, I have this opportunity here, and, like, if I hit him with this now, like, I have it, but that's not me, like, that's not what I do. So I remember, like, that hitting me loads, and it's something that I've, like, watched and, like, maybe, like, tried to apply in some story or some matches, but I think, like, even if I watched it as a wrestler and studied as a wrestler, it's one of the matches that I've watched most as a fan. Because when I watched it, I was, like, just a fan. I had, like, maybe 8 training sessions, 10 training sessions. I don't know. So I was still a fan. Like, we're all still fans, but I was just a fan by then that happened to have trained a few times.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Carlos, where there isn't wrestling, people must create their own.
Yeah.
That is the mantra of White Wolf Wrestling, based in Spain. Yeah.
I didn't create White Wolf Wrestling. I joined White Wolf Wrestling when it was already created. It was people that, like the beginnings of White Wolf Wrestling are unbelievable. So, like, there was, like, people from Barcelona and people from Madrid that, like, all just got together and, like, brought people in to do, like, seminars and everything. There was, like, then, like, they separated for, like, some time. So, like, there was a time where, like, the Barcelona people and the Madrid people, like, had, like, different approaches. Like, Madrid created, like, a different branch, let's say. And Madrid created, before White Wolf Wrestling, there was something called No Limits Wrestling. No Limits Wrestling actually ran a show in Spain, not even Madrid, like, an hour away from Madrid or something. No, not like maybe half an hour away from Madrid. The first White Wolf show, which was, like, pre-White Wolf, it wasn't even a White Wolf show, had a main event of two people called Claudio Castagnoli versus Chris Hero, which people wouldn't think, but yeah, that's the case. Like, so Cesaro and Cassius Ohno, as people might know them now from WWE fame, wrestled in front of like 800 kids, like actual running kids. In like sports like hall in Spain, and that was like the pre-White Wolf. And then like White Wolf started, and they just like kept running on Madrid. They ran free shows. It was like they were very smart, because like nobody was a good wrestler at the time, and people weren't like huge into wrestling either. So like they knew that if they had to bring people in because of the quality of the wrestling, they weren't going to like bring anyone in. So they found a place where they could do like free entry. They had like very cheap beer. It was like €1 per beer. And they did like some cool storylines, and it just got people hooked. So like for the first few years, like you'd see like most of the White Wolf crowd would be like just White Wolf fans. They didn't necessarily need to be like wrestling fans.
But that comes from obviously White Wolf finding a desire for wrestling in Spain, and just capitalizing upon it. And it's something that you I know that you have very much flown the flag for White Wolf. The first time you and I met, it was yourself and A-Kid wrestling in Newcastle upon Tyne as Team White Wolf.
Yeah, that happened because of like we got like. So after a few years go past, I feel like the wrestling, like the quality of wrestling is like starting to get a bit bigger. A-Kid was always great. I was starting to get okay. And I was like, A-Kid should wrestle in the UK. And I told the guys like, because they were like very protective because they didn't want to like send anyone outside if they wasn't ready. But it was like, dude, he's wrestled Ricochet and he did great. Like, I think he's ready to wrestle in the UK. And I might not be as ready, but I think I am okay to go through. And like, A-Kid's shy, it's very shy. So I was like, but I worked in music industry, so I kind of like knew how to like email people and stuff. And I was like, and I'm not that shy. So I was like, should we try to go out? Like, are you guys okay with that? And they were like, yeah. Okay, let's try. And then we did like one show for like Wrestling League. And then we got like the incredible opportunity to do King of Trios. And when we did King of Trios, it was like Game of Thrones inspired. So we were called House White Wolf.
Chikara, this is House White Wolf. I am A-Kid. This right here is Thayez. This is Adam Chase.
You know, Chikara fans, you know House Strong Style. There's this thing that everybody knows. Everybody knows Pete Dunne is the WWE UK champion. Everybody knows Trent Seven, Tyler Bate are the former campeones de parejas. But this is just this tiny little thing. You don't know what we're gonna do to you.
No tenéis ni idea de la que os va a caer encima. You have no idea. Os vamos a dar tan fuerte que no hay músico que toque lo que vas a bailar.
So there's one thing for sure, British Strong Style. You know nothing.
And we had like a first round match against British Strong Style. Got us like, got some eyes on us. And people were like, got like familiar with the name of White Wolf. So we just like decided to keep it. And then when we went to North, and like we just kept with Team White Wolf. Yeah, North is great. I love North.
And we always love having you with us, because it's the first time that you, and what's amazing is that it's what you guys do by calling yourselves Team White Wolf and doing what you do is that you forever carry the flag, whether it's you, A-Kid, or both together. You carry the flag for Spanish wrestling now in so many new places, and that must be a great honor.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit of a responsibility, but like I'm happy taking that. Like I like it.
With White Wolf and your involvement with that, there, do you feel a bit more? Obviously, you weren't there at the beginning, but you were part of the training system now. Are you a bit more of an elder statesman when it comes to White Wolf now? Do you go back and help the new generation coming through?
Yeah. So obviously, I moved to the UK like January last year. I stayed away from White Wolf for a little bit because, like, before I moved to UK, I was like heavily involved, like, in like backstage duties. I was never a booker. I was never like anything like that. But like, I would just like help on absolutely everything. whether it was like social media, like booking flights for people, just like producing matches if they asked me to. I was running training, I was obviously wrestling. There was like, I was just like throwing ideas, whatever it was, like I was just like trying to help with absolutely everything I could. So it was like, okay, I'm gonna like take a little bit of a break for myself and like just wrestle. And that's like when I came over to UK2. But now like training school is really growing, and like you can see there's like more and more people signing up. So like there's like people are starting to be aware that there's wrestling in Spain, they want to train. So right now what I do is like I go once a month for a whole week to Spain and I run the training school for the whole week. We usually like try to make it so there's a show. So you should like either do the show and stay for a week after that, or like run the training school for a week and then do the show. And then obviously like I'm always open to like talking to like all my colleagues back in Spain, and like if anyone has a message, or like sometimes someone will like message me like, hey, I saw you doing this, or like, hey, we got this match, you have any ideas? And like I'll always be more than happy, because I wish I had that when I was there. Like when I was there, it was all us like trial and error and just trying to find our steps. But I wish I had like that fucking, sorry.
That's all good. You're all good.
That father figure, like that mentor. It doesn't necessarily mean to like mean that I'm going to be the mentor, but like that's someone that can guide them a little bit. Like I wish I had that when I was there. So.
But what's amazing is that you choose to be the person that you'd like to have met, and it's a really strong quality in somebody.
Thank you.
No, it really is, because so many people in not just in wrestling but in the world in general, so many people will go, well, I didn't have that, so I'm not going to be that. So it takes really special people to decide to be the person they'd like to have bumped into, to basically be, I don't know, the Kane of Spanish wrestling.
Yeah. That's very strong words, but
as well as taking three wrestling matches with you, I like to spring this on the guests to get your immediate, like, top of your brain answer. I'm also going to allow you to take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item. So something you can have with you to keep you entertained that may not be a wrestling match or a song or a film. So if you could take a movie with you onto the desert island, Carlos, what would you take?
Wow, that's hard. probably... maybe the Warriors.
Nice.
Or like Blues Brothers. I was like super in love with the Blues Brothers as a child, and like still do.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll probably stick with one of those two. I know there's something in my mind that is like, no, that one, but like it's not popping to my mind right now. So
I mean, the Warriors is a great choice. Can you remember the first time that you saw it?
Sorry?
Can you remember the first time that you saw the Warriors?
Yeah, I do. Like someone gave us like a copy of a DVD at home, and like a friend of my dad, and we just watched it. And I was like, what is this? Why is everything so cool? Like I'm in love with every single second of all of this. And it was like completely different again to like anything I ever watched. Like that shock value is always there.
Yeah. Okay. And how about an album? What would you take?
That's the one that just like breaks me, because like I never choose an album. So what I'm gonna do is like I'm gonna go with what I'm listening to right now, because if I had to choose like my favorite album of all time, I legit just couldn't. Like nothing would like my brain would like just collapse. My brain would just collapse. So I'm gonna go with the album I've liked the most this year so far, which is Brave Faces Everyone by Spanish Love Songs.
Why that one? So obviously you listen to that one right now, but what drew you to that album in the first place?
I love all that emo punk rock vibe. And I saw like some friends talking about it. Also, I saw they were supporting the Menzingers, which is a band I love. And I was like, okay, from the people that I see talking about this band, like I trust their taste in music. So I should give them a chance. And then, like, I played one song. And I was like, whoa, wait. Why didn't I listen to this band before? And, yeah, like, I was talking to, like, Kevin Koo, which is like an American wrestler, yesterday, and we were both talking about like how good the album is. It's like incredible. Like, it's a very newish band. I think it's like only like their second full album, but like I might be wrong. But we were saying like there's like no filler songs, and like there's a stretch of like, I don't know, like 5 to 7 songs that are like all straight up bangers. But like, you get to the end of the album and it's like, oh wait, are we here already? What the hell?
Amazing. How about a luxury item?
I just bring my guitar because like that would keep me entertained.
That's a nice. That's a good shout. That's a good shout. Favorite song to play on the guitar?
Wow. There's one that there's a few. There's one that I played the other day that was really fun. She sounds like Balloons by Biffy Clyro.
Oh, beautiful song.
Yeah, love that.
We promised to play it on your Twitter at some point so we can all come and watch.
I played it on Instagram the other day.
Oh, there you go. Even better. It's there already.
Yeah. And I think it's like on like the featured story, so you can go and check it back there. Yeah, and there was like there's a things like Norwegian band called Kvelertak, and they have a song called Bluttorst that is like incredibly fun to play. It's like so much fun, just like to jump around and jam, and they're like, it has like a bit of a shred too, so it's like if you want to get a bit techie, you have like a little bit, but you can also like rock and just headbang to it. It's like super fun to play.
Oh, amazing. Third and final match for your DVD, Carlos. So we've had a Ring of Honor classic from Manhattan. We've had an NXT classic from Full Sail University. What's your third one?
And now we're going to Japan. It's Wrestle Kingdom 11. It's Omega and Okada.
Night that shook the world. The main event at Wrestle Kingdom 11. There was no doubt the two best fighters in the pro wrestling world would give their absolute best. But how close was the ultimate decision? Okada was 6 months into his fourth reign as IWGP Heavyweight Champion, a title he's held for nearly the past 18 months. The Rainmaker, wrestling's gold standard, was constantly praised as the best fighter to walk the planet. In the other corner, the first foreign G1 Climax winner, Kenny Omega. Winning the G1 Climax means you get a contract for an IWGP heavyweight title shot at Wrestle Kingdom.
Okada! Oh yeah! I have never beat you, I have never wrestled you!
But for Omega, it meant more than just a title.
You made me sick. Everything you had was given to you. Given to you by this company, but that's not to say you haven't been a good champion. You have protected Japanese wrestling.
He wanted the keys to the company's driver's seat.
I am taking the main event of Tokyo Dome, and I'm going to take everything that you treasure.
2017, so I hadn't even wrestled in the UK yet, but like I remember that, like, so that one. At that time, I was already fully immersed into, like, independent wrestling. Even if New Japan isn't, like, independent, but, like, let's say, like, not, like, alternatives to WWE. Like, I was already, like, way past just knowing WWE. So I was, like, fully immersed into everything. And, like, that was, like, the first Wrestle Kingdom I watched, like, live.
Okay.
And I was at work. So I was sitting in my office. I had, like, all my work screens open and just like a small tab opened on the side with like Wrestle Kingdom happening.
Oh, watching wrestling on work time. Big
fan. Yeah, I definitely was, yeah.
Do your employers know that you did that? Or is so we don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they did. Because like someone was sitting next to me, and if they didn't know, by the end of the match, they definitely knew. Because, like, it legit, like, I got so invested in so much. I was, like, legit jumping, like, couldn't help but jump up and down from my seat. Like, I had a friend, like, sitting in front of me, which also was a wrestling fan. And I told him, like, man, I'm watching, like, the craziest match I've seen. Not the craziest, but it's, like, dude, like, I don't know if this is the best match I've seen or not or what, but like, I am so hyped. Like, you need to watch this when you get home. I was like legit like live streaming to my friend sitting in front of me. And I was just like, I was just holding my chair, like with like every false finish and everything. I'd be like jumping up and down. I just couldn't hold it. Like the emotion, like just talking about it, like I'm feeling like the emotion I had at that. If you saw me right now, like my whole body is like moving because it was like, that how I felt. Like at first I tried to keep it quiet. I was like, oh, that's cool. And I had like the small pops in myself. But by the end, I was like, just like legit, like rocking my whole chair. Like, what the fuck? So yeah, I have like that very clear memory of loving it at the time. Like they might have done better matches and they might be better matches than these three that I've picked. But like they have like a connection and I have a memory of watching those and like what they meant to me at the time. So I think you can like, because wrestling is subjective and we all know when a match is good, but there's those ones that always have like a little extra for you because of whatever reason.
Carlos, we know it's a really funny old time for wrestlers at the moment, for people in general. So we want to give you the floor just to tell everybody where you are, what you do, where you can buy merch, how we can support Carlos Romo.
So I am Carlos Romo. I am on Twitter and Instagram at Carlos Romo PW. I have a Facebook called Adam Chase, which I don't use anymore because Facebook doesn't let me change it to Carlos Romo. I don't know. I will delete it at some point. I just haven't. I am going to. In fact, I might do it just after we finish this interview.
Oh, so by the time you're listening, it doesn't exist anymore.
It might not even exist yet.
We're in a time loop at the moment.
Yeah. Breaking the space continuum. And you can find my merch at carlosromo.bigcartel.com. Please, if you have some spare change, use it. I would appreciate it. If you don't, please save it. There's no need. There's always food first, family first.
Absolutely. Carlos,
we are all in need right now.
Thank you so much, Carlos, for being on and for flying the flag for Spanish wrestling, for basically being the Kane of the 21st century. Can you practice your chokeslam for next time you're in the ring?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.